the House Committee substitute for House Bill 554. And I move for the adoption of Amendment 1 to House Committee 554, which is 03H. And if you do not have that, we'll get that to everybody. Has that been distributed? Okay. Discussion on House Amendment 1 to the House Committee substitute to 554. Does everybody find that? This is an amendment that Department of Natural Resources suggested. It was their observation that their attorneys did not think under the language in the substitute that they had the authority to issue such as a water quality permit, which would create serious catch-22 problems in terms of getting a license for a nuclear plant specifically, and probably any facility that would be approved by the Public Service Commission for construction. So we think this language repairs that, makes sure that the Department of Natural Resources does have the authority to issue any permits that are required. It was the consensus view that they already, in the existing language, had the authority to enforce a permit, just that they didn't have the authority to issue a permit. So this should repair that. Discussion. Representative Zimmerman. Proceed. Any other discussion on House Amendment 1? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The amendment passes and is adopted. All right, discussion on the House Committee substitute as amended. Representative Zimmerman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll use the microphone this time.
But before I get to my amendment, I actually want to ask a couple of quick questions that we might want to get the advocates to come up and give an answer on. And I apologize, Mr. Chairman. I would have preferred to have talked these with you in your office. And this may be something that maybe we just talk about after committee or before it goes to the floor. But my first question is, looking at this version is slightly different than the one that's in front of us, so I hope that I'm in the right page number. What should be on page 2 of the substitute, Section 393.1250.
Yes.
The very last line there says, these sections shall not apply to clean baseload electric generating plants or renewable source generating facilities that are in commercial operation after August 28th, 2009. And I'm just making sure that that's right and it shouldn't say on, because I thought this was trying to make clear that this new language doesn't apply to something that already existed. And if I'm understanding it right, then that should be on and not after. And if I'm understanding it wrong, then I want to know why I'm wrong.
Here just a minute.
Okay.
Thank you, Adam.
But wait, Mr. Chairman,
Would you like to move for that
Mr. Chairman,
we're drafting it here for you right now.
I would move to amend the House Committee substitute by replacing the word after in the final sentence of
line 14.
Line 14 of subsection 1 of section 393.1250 by striking the word after and inserting the lieu thereof on.
All right. You got it. Any discussion on that motion on the committee amendment 2? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye. The amendment is adopted. Representative
Wait,
Zimmerman.
Mr. Chairman, don't answer yet. Just look what else you get. Looking on it's on page 14 of the draft that I had, so you'll have to tell me if I'm on the wrong page. It is subsection 8, and that subsection begins with the words, if the electrical corporation decides. Mm-hmm. You got that? Okay. Midway through that subsection, it says, shall nonetheless be recoverable through rates. And it has been pointed out that now, move over to what is page 33 of my version. Okay, good. Page 33, this is near the end of subsection 11. Look at line 14 there, and you'll see that inclusion of costs and, well, as I think about this, this may be wrong. You know what? I'm going to strike that because I say, as it turns out, I think the concern is not relevant. I thought that rates needed to be replaced with the words bill credits, but as I see there, since bill credits is a credit back to the consumer from the rates, it's actually not a valid concern, so... I'll satisfy myself with one. Okay, now, so onto the big one. I have another amendment, Mr. Chairman. It has been distributed. Oh, it has not been distributed. Excuse me. I'm sorry. It is in the process of being distributed. Mr. Chairman, my purpose in offering this amendment,
Are you withdrawing House Amendment 2, Representative?
I don't think I ever offered House Amendment 2, but if I was,
did you not?
Withdraw it.
I'm sorry, we got two. All right, never offered the other amendment. So we're on.
This is two, and I move for its adoption.
All right. This is three. This is three. All right.
We've already done House Amendment 2.
And it is being distributed as we speak.
Sorry. I move for the adoption of House Committee Amendment to the House Committee Substitute Number 3.
Thank you.
So may I proceed?
All right, please proceed, Representative.
So here's the scoop, Mr. Chairman. I think we have progressed substantially from the conversation that we had during our committee hearing a couple of weeks ago. My sense is that the general view of most people on this committee is that there's a lot of people who, because of the, particularly the economic factors associated with this plant and people, especially on my side of the aisle, who are most concerned about the jobs and the direct economic impact during these times, and I think people on both sides of the aisle wanting to make sure that ratepayers get the right deal are concerned about making sure that we do this thing the right way. The purpose of my amendment, Mr. Chairman, is to try and move that discussion forward by saying maybe we need to rethink the process here. And I'm sure you've heard the governor's statements over the course of last weekend in terms of the right timing and that maybe a bifurcated process is in order. So my purpose in offering this amendment is to say, look, let's strip out all this other language, all the last 20 pages of the bill, everything that garnered the controversy, and let's give the parties an opportunity to sit down and talk this thing out again. And that means just keeping the paragraphs that just talk about QIP and the alternative financing mechanism. And this is what we talked about in the committee hearing previously, and I think there's a lot of people who would welcome this as an opportunity to move the conversation forward. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I urge the adoption of the amendment.
Mr. Chair, wish to inquire.
I'm sorry.
Wish to inquire.
You bet.
The amendment hand. So what you're doing is basically deleting this whole bill that we've worked on and putting this into – this would be the entire bill, basically line 13 through the second page.
What I'm doing here is doing what Commissioner Clayton suggested when he testified before the committee, which is, you know, if you want to continue a discussion about QIP and building the power plant, just change the QIP statute and make clear that the PSC has the authority to use this financing mechanism and then let it go to the PSC. And I don't envision, just to be clear, I don't envision that this would be the final discussion point of the bill, because I think the parties have a lot of ways to go, just as I'm sure you don't envision that what's in front of us right now is the final discussion.
Right. Absolutely. There's still a long ways through the process, but I believe we had a pretty good meeting in the chairman's office discussing reason why there's other provisions in this bill. And the fact of the matter is, who's going to invest in the state of Missouri with just the first two pages of the bill being the primary thrust of this? I mean, somebody's going to spend $6 to $7 billion building a plant, and we can't really guarantee or have a philosophy in place to allow them a reasonable assurance that the plant is going to actually be built and consequently return on investment being there. And that's why the chairman's worked so hard to put together a bill that is going to allow some reasonable assurance that once the plant is approved and is moving through the process, that a lawsuit's not going to stop that process from happening. And I guess, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to speak on the amendment. Mr. Chair, I believe that the amendment is well thought out and well intended. However, I do think that the underlying committee substitute gives reasonable assurance that once the plant is under operation, I mean, once the plant has been approved and the building is going forward, that there's a return on investment and the progress isn't going to be stopped. And the amendment doesn't provide that safety to investors, and therefore I think that if we were to pass the amendment, I don't think that anybody would move forward with building a $6 to $7 billion plant in the state of Missouri. So I would encourage the members on the committee to vote down the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. The discussion on Committee Amendment 3. All right, just to, I guess, reiterate what Representative Krause has said, is that one of the reasons that this was not considered by a lot of us as a reasonable change is because it does undermine the entire purpose of the bill, which is to ensure that the Missourians have access to whatever financial assets are necessary to assure the lowest cost electricity. So I also would ask the members to vote against Committee Amendment 3. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. No. The noes have it. House Amendment 3 is not adopted. Other discussion.
That's what happens when you have salad in your mouth, Mr.
Sorry, timing is everything, Representative.
let the record reflect that I muttered an aye, Mr. Chairman.
Timing is everything. All right, yes,
Mr. Chairman, to speak on the House Committee substitute.
You bet. Before, let me just interrupt you a second. What I would like to do, and then what I'd like...
Are there other amendments?
No, I don't know of any other amendments, but I would like to walk through the House Committee substitute and make sure that everyone knows exactly what is in it. Does everyone have a list of the revisions, summary, the bullet points? What I'd like to do is just point you to all of those changes in the substitute itself. We can take as much time as you want to make sure you understand those changes, or as little time as you want if you've already had a chance to read the substitute and know that what's in it and that you're in favor of it or opposed to it, and then we'll have those discussions. But the first, does everybody have this, both a copy of the substitute and a copy of the bullets? I don't see any hands, so I'm assuming they are. Number one, clarification that if a subsidiary is used, the revenues, including off-system sales, are received directly by the utility. If you want to see it in your substitute, is at the bottom of page 2, lines 25 through 27. The reason for that section of this bill is to allow any applicant who's going to construct a plant to make application for federal loan guarantees. And because there was some concerns about whether or not there might have been some unintended consequences, this language was to clear that up and to make sure that any off-system sales go back to benefit the consumers. And, of course, we're hoping there will be significant off-system sales to any major baseload generation plant that is built so that Missouri will be a net exporter of electricity, not an importer. Any questions or comments on that first bullet point? All right, the second bullet point should be around page 11. Just a minute, I'll tell you exactly. Page 10, lines 20 through 22. This addresses a concern about pre-construction costs and possibly there being no constraints on those, depending on the timing of any application for baseload generation. This allows those costs to be acknowledged as in a rate case and submitted along with a rate case, and also means that they're unlikely, they're much less likely to actually come in under QIP. They're much more likely now to come in a regular rate case, but this allows the Public Service Commission to consider those in a rate case. I think that is a fairly effectively taking care of the concerns about unrestrained pre-construction costs. Questions or comments about item two? All right, item three. Concerns over the timing of the COLA and whether or not it might be sold to another corporation and any number of things. A lot of things were raised. If we'll go to page 12, under number four, that entire section is new. That's a part of the elevation of the COLA, the significance of the timing of the COLA. The rest of that is on page 19, lines beginning with line 23, section 393.12.65. This is the most significant part of it, and it is primarily beginning, I guess, with line 28 through line 4 on page 20. And it ties a lot of switches to the application for that license so that the license becomes much more significant. A lot of the concerns about the things that could happen before that license was applied for or without the license ever being applied for, I think this tightens all those up. And I know you've had these bullets. Yes, Representative Krause.
Question on that. Now, assuming that a person applies for a license to build a nuclear plant, this ties up the fact that if they try to sell that license, does it tie that issue up?
Actually, that issue is probably tied more to the pre-construction cost being in a rate case,
okay,
where that brings it under the regulatory environment of the Public Service Commission. Some of it, I think, is addressed here. Let me see if we've got a representative from Ameren that can address that even more specifically. Is anybody in the room that Matt Fork in around close? I know Jim Burns not here. Are they in the hallway? No. I think he can explain it. Matt, on our on the elevation of the COLA application, Will had a question. Let him just repeat his question and see if you can give him a good specific answer.
The concern that was raised by one group that potentially that Ameren would apply to build this plant and then sell the license, I guess, or the permit to build the plant to someone else, potentially not even a U.S.-based group, kind of concerns. Can you assure the committee that the language in here is taken care of in the aspect of selling that permit to build a nuclear plant?
The main thing here, though, I think, Matt, is it if it is sold, the proceeds come back to the ratepayers. Right. Right. Yeah. So everything comes back if it is sold.
And when you're talking about the customers, we're making the customers whole if say, Ameren, for example, decides to build a plant and then all of a sudden they choose to sell that license and they have used Quip to deal with the cost, that goes back to the customer. And that's what I wanted to make sure.
That's right. That's all recovered.
If you wouldn't mind pointing that out in the legislation later on to me in my office or –
That should be these two sections that we have marked.
Okay.
Page 13, that's actually the two page numbers I gave you. Page 19, the bottom of page 19 was the second one, and I think mine was on page 12.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the
whole section 4, subsection 4 of section 4. But yeah, that's, and I think that's as tightly as that can be controlled because of that. Once the plant is constructed, then it comes under the Public Service Commission completely, and it can't be sold without coming through the Public Service Commission. During construction, it's a matter of making sure that the money comes back to the ratepayers. Is that right? Right. Once you have a rate case and it's pulled in. Representative Parson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just, I guess, a question. If they got halfway through this process and for whatever reason couldn't complete it, what would occur then?
First of all, we'll have another bullet point down here that addresses part of that. Before that can happen, the Public Service Commission has to examine the entire issue and agree that there will be less cost to the consumers by abandoning the project than there will be by continuing the project. That is actually in their best financial interest to abandon the project.
Could that license be sold or transferred at that point too?
I would presume it could. Could the license be, since the plant wouldn't be constructed, the license could be sold and those proceeds come back to the ratepayer at that point. Couldn't they, Matt? Yeah, that's the way I read it, Mike. I hadn't thought that specific scenario, you know, in those that order. But yes, I think at that point, if it was an abandonment, and that probably would even come into the commission's decision, I would think, if that was part of the deal, they would look at that as a part of whether it would actually be in the consumer's best interest if someone else finished the plant. Does that answer your question? Okay. Item 4. Are we ready to go to 4? The time for the commission to consider a project development order. This is an easy one. It's on page. Let's see. I just have 18, but it's probably not 18. Page 16, line 26, where that has been changed from 3 months to 6 months, and then further in the back. It takes me just a minute to find this one. We have changed 6 months to 12 months in terms of the commission's time to respond to an application. Just a second, and I will give you that reference. Page 22, line 4. That's been changed from 6 months to 12 months. Again, that was over some of the concerns, especially from OPC, that given the volume of data that would come in with an application, that it would just be very difficult in the time constraints that we had originally imposed for them to finish the work that they had. Any discussion on that one? All right, where are we? 5. The plant's canceled. Coal is sold. Customers must be credited for all amounts paid plus interest before any profits may be retained by the utility. And that actually occurs in two places. The first one is around page 17. Just a minute, I'll give you the precise. I was marking these on a copy that was not official. Actually, page 15 and 16, beginning with line 18 on page 15, and it goes all the way to point 9 near the top of page 16. That is where that is specifically described, how that will happen and how that would flow back to the customer base. And the other one there is is on page 33, beginning with line 3 and going through line 18. One of those is before, one is in pre-construction, that's on page 14. The other is after the FRO and during construction. So it has to be in two different places in the legislation to make sure that, that those reimbursements happen appropriately if the COLA is sold. Number 6, interrupt if there's any questions on any of these. Number 6 is clarification that the orders under the statute are still subject to appeal. That is the judiciary part of it. On page 39, section 393.12.89, line 5, I think that's right, actually begins over here on page 38, line 23. And there are changes in that section 5 and also changes in 393.12.89, all to be sure that the jurisdiction of the courts, it's clear that that jurisdiction applies in the same way that it does now to the proceedings of the FPC. In other words, we're still protecting from the collateral attacks, but we're trying to make sure that, that we don't eliminate without intending an avenue for the courts to make a final dispensation of something that the commission actually does wrong. Representative, did you have comments on that? Well, and I think we have had some opinions that we think this is constitutional, but we'll be glad to work on that, and if there are changes needed, then that should be an easy amendment on the floor if we have to do that, because we're all working for the same goal there, I think. The revisions that had already been made include the next bullet point under there, the abandonment only if that results in lower cost to consumers. That is in here. I can take you to it if you want to read that. And also that costs recovered would be recovered over 1.5 times the period in which they were incurred rather than the same time period in which they were incurred. Also that the commission must open a docket within 30 days of the enactment of this legislation to do a thorough analysis of the various types of approaches to financing, whether you're talking about the cash matrix, whether you're looking at QIP, or whether you're looking at existing statutes, to see how those compare in today's environment. And then finally, that the commission must determine that the plant is being financed by the best financing option for customers. That one is, I think, is pretty significant, and it is on page 19, I think. Yes, page 19, lines 3 through 5 of page 19. That require that be a part of the evaluation by the commission, is that the best financing option for the customers be employed. Any questions about those changes? All right. Any further discussion? Representative Zimmerman, I think you had something.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this bill, I think, presents a dilemma for many members on my side of the aisle. And the reason it does is in part because of the unfortunate way that that Ameren has driven this process, and particularly the measure that was brought before this committee just a couple of weeks ago. I mean, the thing that was brought before this committee a couple of weeks ago was an absolute piece of junk, and it was filled with provisions that were harmful to consumers and that, frankly, are so prescriptive as to wipe away 100 years of established utility regulation. And I know that's particularly frustrating for members on my side of the aisle who are genuinely interested in seeing this plant get built and who are genuinely interested in making sure that that economic activity and those jobs stay here in the state of Missouri. And speaking, I think, on behalf of everyone on my side of the aisle, I can tell you that we are simultaneously pleased that there has been some good faith effort to move in the right direction. But I think there's also different levels of comfort, and I won't presume to speak for anybody else, about what's happened so far. And I'll just say for the record that I think you and Representative Krauss and the others who have worked on this have been genuinely trying to address those concerns. And I still have some profound disagreements, and there's things where I think this thing has a lot of ways to go. And let's also just say out loud what everybody in this room knows, which is that if the language stays as it is right now, this thing is dead with a capital D, courtesy of our friends on the Senate side, regardless of what we do. And based on the statements of the governor this weekend, I think everyone knows that there's a long way to go to get this thing to a place where the correct consumer protections are there and where we are doing what we need to do that's responsible for the people of this state. With that said, Mr. Chairman, I also want to reiterate, number one, my respect for the way this process has been handled and the fact that the conversation is moving in the right direction. And number two, members on my side of the aisle want to be a constructive part of that and want to try and get us to a place where we have something in front of us that actually does protect the consumers, make sure that the right guarantees are here, and make sure that this can be done in the right way. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, in the interest of moving the conversation forward, I will reluctantly vote yes, with the hopes that we'll have something at the end of the day that all of us can feel more comfortable with. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Krauss.
Yes, I'm the House Committee substitute.
Proceed.
As amended. Mr. Chair and committee, I think I want to commend the chair for the work that he's done on this bill to make it more consumer friendly. And I appreciate the comments from Representative Zimmerman. I think that you have added to the discussion and improved this bill. And I know that you have some deep reservations about it, but I truly thank you for the comments and the advocacy for the consumers on this bill. I think that you've added a lot of consumer protections in there, and I think you're right. I think that the bill's not done, and I think that there's going to be significant changes over in the Senate. But I think that we are at a point where we need to move forward. I think this is a good start to move forward. I think the state of Missouri needs a new base plant and a clean generating base plant in the state of Missouri. So, Mr. Chair, I appreciate your work, and I think that this is the right step forward, and I encourage all the members to vote yes on the House Committee substitute.
Further discussion on the House Committee substitute. Let me make a quick comment in closing on my motion for due pass, and that is that I do want to respond to some of the characterizations of Ameren. I know I've worked very closely with them and other members of the industry throughout this process, and I don't think there's been a single change that I have suggested, either on my own or at the request of some of the members of this committee, that has been resisted. There have been some that I know have been a surprise to them because they approach this bill from a different direction than some of us do, and so they don't always see the grass laying in the same direction. But I can say that they have been very cooperative in doing everything they could to make sure that this is a good energy policy decision for the state of Missouri, and that allows not just Ameren, but anyone who is interested in building the lowest cost base load utility facility to have an opportunity to do that for the citizens of Missouri. I do think that the bill as it exists right now is a much better bill, not necessarily because its intention has changed at all, but because its design has changed, and I think it now does more is more closely aligned with the original intention that we had, which was to ensure that we have available to the citizens of Missouri the financing that is needed to build significant baseload generation. I think at that point, we're certainly open to changes in the Senate, and when those changes are going to preserve the most important aspect of this bill, which is to ensure that the financial community will come to Missouri and will help us build baseload generation, then I think we will indeed be very open and eager to receive those changes. With that, and before we do pass, I move that we roll the amendments into a new House Committee substitute. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The motion carries, and we will now vote due pass on the House Committee substitute as amended. Madam Secretary, when you catch up, would you please call the roll?
Representative Emery?
Aye.
Representative Krauss?
Aye.
Representative Hummel?
Representative Lampe? Representative Parson?
Aye.
Representative Pollack? Representative Scholar? Representative Skaggs?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative Vibrock?
Yes.
Representative Walsh?
Aye.
Representative Webb?
Yes.
Representative Bright? Representative Zimmerman?
By your vote of 12 in favor, one opposed, and one absent, you have do passed the House Committee substitute for House Bill 554. Is there anything else to come before the committee before we exit the executive session? Seeing none, that concludes the executive session, and we are adjourned.